Well, when you get there, let's stand in honor of God's word. Let's look at verse 6. But he giveth more grace. I could stop right there and preach. How many would like to have more grace? Amen. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Wow. I want to preach a little while on he giveth more grace. And every one of us needs more grace. Amen. God, we love you and we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the service so far tonight. Thank you, God, for the service this morning. Lord, you've just doing a great work in our church, and I thank you for that, Lord. Watch over us right now as we try to expound on this scripture just a little while, God. Guide my heart, guide my mind, God. And whatever's done tonight, we want to lift up Jesus. We love you. Thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I've been reading, and I thought about trying to, you know, come up with some kind of great theological definition of grace, but one of the best illustrations I ever heard on grace was this. Years ago, Billy Graham was traveling through a small town and got a speeding ticket. And the officer told him you had to come back to court. So Brother Robert comes back to court, and on that court day, it's very busy, and you got your magistrate setting up there. This is years and years ago, and it comes time for Billy Graham to appear before the judge, and he stands before the judge. The judge is looking down, and he's just looking at all the stuff he's got, and he's just listening. He's just going through the motions, you know, guilty, 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 not guilty, whatever. And the speeding ticket, they look at it, the officer tells what happened, and he says guilty. The fine is $10. That's $1 for every mile an hour you're above the speed limit. He looked up and recognized Billy Graham. He said, "You're Billy Graham." He said, "Yes, sir, I'm guilty." He said, "Well, you've been found guilty." He says, the fine's $10. He said, "But I'm going to pay you a fine because you're Billy Graham." And he paid his fine and took him out to lunch. And Billy Graham said that's probably the best example of grace he had ever heard of. Unmerited favor. Amen. Unmerited favor. As I was studying this and thinking about this today, I found this story. Charles Spurgeon and Joseph Parker both had churches in London in the early 19th century. Most of us have heard of Charles Spurgeon. David, we got a picture of Charles Spurgeon in the man cave. On one occasion, Parker commented on the poor condition of the children admitted to Spurgeon's orphanage. But it was reported to Spurgeon, however, that Parker had criticized the orphanage itself. The attack was printed in a newspaper and became the talk of the town. People flocked to Parker's church the next Sunday to hear the rebuttal. Charles Spurgeon had blasted Parker from the pulpit the week before. People just came to Parker's church to find out what Parker was going to say. And this is what he said from the pulpit. He said, "I understand that Dr. Spurgeon is not in his pulpit today, and this is the Sunday that they used to take up an offering for his orphanage." He said, "I suggest that we take up a love offering here instead." The crowd was delighted, and the ushers had to empty the collection plate three times. Later that week, there was a knock on his door. Charles Spurgeon come to see him. And this is what he said. "You know, Parker, you have practiced grace on me. You've given me what I don't deserve instead of what I do deserve." That's grace. Now, how many would love to have more grace? Amen. Amen. Thank God that God's got enough grace, Kevin, for all of us. I mean, grace upon grace upon grace. But if we want more grace, if we want God to really bless us, God gives us a pattern in this passage of Scripture that I read to you. And I want to look at this just shortly tonight. Amen. And number one, get off your high horse. What did the Bible say? James chapter 4, verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. We cannot be haughty, and we cannot be, we were talking about this in Sunday school this morning. My wife taught a class back when we was at White Savannah, and there was a young man in that class that said his granddaddy was a super Christian. Let me go ahead and tell y'all something. There ain't no such a thing as a super Christian. Oh, we can put on the show. We can put that attitude out there, but all of us ain't nothing but dirty, rotten sinners saved by the grace of God. Amen. And so you got to get off your high horse if you want God to pour more grace on you. The Bible says in verse 9, be afflicted and mourn and weep. But verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Most people are like Spurgeon in this passage that I read to you, instead of being like Parker. And if we ain't careful, we can come to church. And I'll be honest with you. I don't know how you can come to this church and try to be haughty and try to be high-minded. I don't see how you get bombarded in Sunday school. I know how it is in the man cave. You get bombarded in Sunday school. You get bombarded from the pulpit. Every time either I'm preaching or Clint or David or Chucky or whoever's filling the pulpit, I mean, we all hear, hey, we're nothing. We're nothing without Jesus. You'll never be nothing without Jesus. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care what kind of car you drive. I don't care what you go through. You'll never be nothing without Jesus, amen? So if we want more grace, we got to get off our high horse. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. The Bible is all full of verses about humility. Amen. George Whitefield was a great preacher. He preached a long time alongside greats like John Wesley. Even though Whitefield and Wesley disagreed on doctrine, they knew each other. But Whitefield was very careful. John Wesley was the more popular preacher. Whitefield was very careful not to cause dissension. Somebody asked Whitefield one time if he thought he'd see Wesley in heaven. And this is a great man of God. This is what he said, I fear not, for he'll be so near to the eternal throne, and we at such a distance, we shall hardly catch sight of him. That's humbleness, folks. That's humbleness. That don't come just so-so. Most of us know Preacher Buddy C. Preacher Buddy C is probably the most humble preacher that I know. I'll be honest with you. I am nowhere near as humble as Preacher Buddy C. I don't know if it was from my law enforcement days. I don't know. I'm just telling. I have compassion. I love people, and I love you. But that kind of humility comes through godliness and seeking God. Amen. So get off your high horse if you want more grace. If you want more grace, you got to put yourself in God's hands. Put yourself in God's hands. The Bible says in verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. That word submit right there comes from the Greek word. It means to be subordinate or to obey, to be under subjection or to be subject to another. Amen. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 13, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, most of us know this by heart, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So you got to give yourself to God in everything. You can't just give yourself to God on Sunday morning and expect to have grace on Monday, and you're doing everything you want to do on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I'm telling you, you got to give yourself to God in everything. We got to give ourselves to God in our time. We got to give ourselves to God in our talents. I was talking to somebody this week, and I don't remember who it was. And they said something to this effect. I was asking about a man, and I'm not going to call any names, but he said, yeah, his son's a good singer. The guy that I'm talking about, great singer. If I could call his name, and I'm not going to call his name, but you would know him. He's actually singing in this church. And he said, his son's a great singer. He said, he's a great singer. He said, yeah, he goes down to the beach, sings in some of the bars, and he sings around church. I'm sitting there thinking, he's a hypocrite. You can't give yourself to Satan on Saturday night and come into God's house on Sunday morning and think you're going to find grace. Man, I will never forget. I was sitting at one of my ex-sister-in-laws. We were sitting there talking, and she was talking about Clint, how this one guy could really play the I think it was a trumpet, I'm not sure. But she said, yeah, he plays at such and such a church. But it said on the weekend, he plays down at the beach at the Bowery or somewhere like that. I said, well, he wouldn't be playing in my church. Well, why not? Because you got to be godly. Amen. I don't want somebody playing an instrument. I don't care if you can play the instrument like Chad Atkins. I don't want you playing an instrument in my church. If you're down there at the bar room on Friday and Saturday night singing for the devil, you ain't got no business singing with our band. I want grace. And if we're gonna give ourselves wholly to the Lord, amen, we have to make up our minds. I'm giving myself to the Lord, my time, my talents, hey, his tithe, amen. We got to give ourselves to the Lord. I want God to show grace on my life. I want God to pour out grace on my life because I know how stupid I am. And I realize, David, that next week I'm going to need more grace than I probably did this last week. And I realize that the week after that, I'll probably need more. Amen. And if you'll be honest today, if you'll be honest tonight, you know you're going to need more grace next week. You're going to need more grace next year. We're going to all need more grace. So I need to line up with what God's Word tells me to line up with. Amen. And you give yourself to the Lord in all things. Why? Because God knows best. As I was studying this, I got thinking about this. I'll never forget. When I was getting ready to have that surgery, Melvin, they had told me, and I'd prayed, and I just knew the Lord was going to take that cyst off that kidney, and everything was going to be fine, and that ain't the way God chose to do it. Me and Joanne was talking. Joanne said, I wanted to take it out. She said, I think you can live with one kidney. She said, I want to just take that kidney out. That way we ain't got to worry about it. We won't never have to worry about that cancer coming back or anything like that. And she about had me convinced. And so we went in there. We was in that pre-op, whatever, that doctor come in there. He said, I hear y'all got some concerns. And, you know, Joanne was scared to death. She was sitting there. She was. I ain't going to say scared. She was nervous, as well she should be. Joanne said, yeah, I think we won't take that kidney out. I said, yeah, my wife thinks we ought to take it out. He said, well, I think I can save it. And I finally looked at him and I said, listen, you the professional. You get in there and you the professional, you know what you're doing. You do it like you think you need to do it. He said, if I get in there and I see something wrong, he said, I'll take it out. I said, you the professional, you're the one that knows what you're doing. When you get in there, you take care of it. And guess what? He took part of it out. I've still got both kidneys. They're doing great. Glory to God. Everything's great. Just had that scan a couple weeks ago. Everything's great. You got to understand something, folks. If you'll just turn it over to God, God's the professional. If you'll give your whole life over to him, I'm telling you right now, he'll take care of every need. He'll pour out grace on you like you ain't never seen before. But you got to give it to him. If you want more grace, you got to stand up to the devil. Listen to the Bible says in verse 7, submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee. That word right there, when you think about it, Satan's always on the warpath. We were talking about this in Sunday school this morning. Satan is always out. The Bible tells us in John chapter 10, he's out there to steal, kill, and destroy. He's doing his very best. He'll wreck your home. He'll wreck your life. He'll wreck your health. He'll wreck your mind if you let him. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 89, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions were accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You got to understand, Satan wants to put doubt in your mind. Satan wants to put a doubt in your mind. He wants to get depression in your heart and in your soul. He wants you to fall out of church. Satan can't make you do anything, but he can sure lead you to try to do it. So the Bible tells us if we want grace, we got to stand up to the devil. Resist. It basically means to stand against, to oppose, or to resist. I've given this example many, many times over the years. Clint, don't let me pull you off that seat. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. Let's try it one more time. He resisted. I could have put my foot on that seat and probably pulled him out of there. But you got to understand something. When you want more grace and you resist, there's something else there with you. Amen. I won't never forget watching a movie. It's called The Bear. And there was this little cub. And this mountain lion was after this little cub. And he run that little cub, Brother Robert, for miles. And that little cub was running from that mountain lion. That mountain lion was gaining on him. Finally, that little cub had all he could take. He couldn't take no more. He turned around, and he couldn't stand but about that high. He stood up on both his back legs, and he was just kind of trying to growl. It sounded like a kitty cat. And all of a sudden, that mountain lion stopped, Josh, and took off running. And the camera panned out. And right behind that little baby bear cub on a rock was this here about a 10-foot grizzly bear that had stood up and was growling glory to God. Hey, and when you resist the devil, there's somebody that'll stand up behind you. Amen. Hey, so if Jesus has to come down, Jesus will come down. But glory to God, he's got enough angels that can take care of every demon in hell. Amen. All you got to do is resist and stand up to him. Glory to God. That's grace. That's grace. Whew. I'll never forget, I remember reading a story one time about a guy that was at a zoo. And as he was watching this zookeeper, there was a mountain lion in there. And this zookeeper comes in, and all he had was a broom, Brother Terry. He opens up the door, and he's over there sweeping the cage out. And he actually takes the broom and gets close to the mountain lion, and he gooches the mountain lion. Y'all know what gooching is, don't you? That's a country boy word. He gooched the mountain lion, and the mountain lion kind of growled a little bit and run off over to another corner. This guy looked at him and said, man, you must be brave. He said, why you say that? He said, you ain't there with a mountain lion. He said, oh, no, I ain't brave. He kept on working. He moved that mountain lion again, Brother Robert. The man said, you must be brave. He said, oh, I'm not brave. He said, why aren't you scared of that mountain lion? He said, oh, miss, that mountain lion's old. He ain't got no teeth. Amen. Jesus pulled his teeth at Calvary. You got to understand something. If Jesus defeated him and Jesus is my big brother, you know what that means? That means I can defeat him, amen? Not within myself, but I got somebody on my side, amen? And if I want more grace, all I got to do is stand up. Amen. If you want more grace, you got to clean up your life. The Bible says in verse 8, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 says this, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness and the fear of God. You can't have a dirty mind and have a clean conscience. Listen, I know I know that the devil fights us. I was talking with a guy this week, and his mom, I was telling Brother Robert this morning, his mom got killed there on number 9 right there close to Jack's just several months ago. A guy was under the influence of alcohol and drugs, caused the wreck. And he told me, he said, the man was 45 years old. At 45 years, now this is my thought, at 45 years old, you ought to be over some of the stupid mess. I know the devil fights, I realize that. Some of us are fighting battles we should have won years ago. Amen. But I'm telling you, when you start cleansing up, you start doing your best to live for the Lord. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Cleanse your hearts. Folks, I'm telling you, there comes a time in our life. When I think about this, my mind always goes to Miss Annie Mae Davis. I remember hearing a preacher one time preach a message called Living Above the Snake Line. Any of y'all ever heard that message? Living Above the Snake Line. Well, there's a line at Pike's Peak. When you go up that mountain, Kevin, there's a line, and it says it's called the Snake Line because snakes can't live above that line because the air's too thin. There ought to come a point in our life, in a Christian's life, where Satan looks down and Satan looks at Clint and says, well, ain't no need messing with that one. I believe with all my heart Miss Annie Mae Davis had made it to that point. Was she perfect? Ain't no way. But I believe Satan would come up to that little mobile home that she lived in and say, no, not today. I done been defeated in there too many times. You want grace. You start cleaning up you. Quit worried about everybody else. Work on you. You make you the best you can be. And God will take care of the rest of it. Amen. My last point is this. If you want grace, stop fussing and fighting among each other. Verse 11 and 12. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. If thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Jamie sent me something this week, and it said this. It's hard to throw stones when you're washing feet. It's hard to throw stones when you're washing feet. And David says this in Sunday school all the time. It's hard to be mad at somebody when you're praying for them. If we quit fussing and fighting amongst ourselves and realize we all got a common enemy and his name is Satan, we'd be a whole lot better off. Amen. We're getting ready to go into a time in our church. This time of year is always special. We're gearing up for the Easter play. And we need grace. There are going to be times in the next couple of months when we're going through this Easter play, Kevin. There are going to be some feelings might get hurt. There are going to be some folks that might get a little mad. But you know what? We're in this thing together. There are going to be some folks that might run their lip out because they didn't get the part they wanted. I tell you what, you can have my part. I don't care. But I want grace. I want God to pour out his grace on this church. I'd like for it to be so strong, Miss Barbara, when the devil comes by, he almost sees a big angel with buckets just pouring it out on this church. And I want us to come, let's gather around this altar tonight. Pray for grace on our church and grace on us, and pray for grace on our Easter play. Amen.